pulls it. Oh, and it gets by Shaw. Fair ball down into the corner. Terang is in, and Danny Jansen makes this a one-run game. Big hit for Jansen.
Probably his biggest hit as a Brewer. Highlight courtesy of FanDuel Network Sports Wisconsin. Sports Network Wisconsin, whatever. Brian Anderson there on the call. Steve Sparky Fiverr with you, filling in for Mason Crosby and Mitch Thunder Nellis today. Tommy Wirtz producing today's show as well. Don't forget, get the latest from the Packers Seahawks joint practice coming up this afternoon at 2. Charlie Usen and myself will get you the latest going on from there. Brewers game is going on this afternoon. I understand. We have the leadoff show powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook coming up from noon until 1 today. And then we'll be on during the game. So we will be talking about the game while it's going on. But we're also going to be talking about that Packers Seahawks scrimmage too. So make sure to check out Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. That comes up this afternoon again, starting at 2 here on The Fan.
What's the latest on the crew? Let's go inside the clubhouse with Drew Wagner of Forbes Sports on the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Thunder Nellis. Brought to you by Verizon, the number one network in Milwaukee on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan. Inside the clubhouse is brought to you by Focus Baseball. Join their fall mini camps at focusbaseball.com.
All right, joining us now, he is Andrew Wagner. Follow him on Twitter at @byandrewwagner. First things first, everybody kept talking about Danny Jansen having his big Brewers moment. The Appleton native getting to the Brewers here just a few weeks ago. I would say that was probably been his biggest Brewer moment to this point.
Yeah, sure seems that way. He hasn't had a lot of opportunities, but that was a big one, and he delivered.
He hasn't really impressed me all that much, to be honest with you, up until that moment and time. And every time he comes up, I was like, okay, maybe he's going to do something. And then catching, okay, do something. I don't know. I mean, that's why he's the backup catcher, I guess, and not the starter. William Contreras ends that game with a line drive that Nico Horner snatches. Brewers have lost 3 in a row after last night. And we talked about it yesterday, and I think it applies to last night's game as well, which is they simply can't figure out how to get the big hit in the big moments like they were on that winning streak, Drew.
Yeah, they're a little bit of a slump right now, a 48-hour slump. The funny thing is I was seeing on Twitter last night as I was coming back, everyone complained that the offense has gone dead this series. Well, it's not this series. They opened the series with a 7-0 win. They're outscoring the Cubs 15-14 so far, so it's not like the offense has gone dead. But it's like you said, they just – haven't gotten those big hits. They were a hit away from winning game one of that series. They're 6-4. They lose the first game of the doubleheader. They were a hit away from getting back in yesterday. They had a couple chances there against Colin Ray, loading up the bases. I think it was in the third inning, and then putting runners in scoring position. They couldn't get that big hit. That's going to happen sometimes. It hasn't happened lately. You knew it was going to cool off a little bit, but I don't think that this is all of a sudden the Brewers are in a giant swoon.
Mr. Wagner, I agree with you that I don't think they're in a giant swoon, but one thing that was brought up by Tommy Wirtz earlier in the show and on text last night when we were going back and forth, why was the decision made to flop Koenig and Uribe and have Uribe pitch the 7th and Koenig pitch the 8th? Because it's been happening now the last several games.
Yeah, not sure. That did not actually come up. We didn't think about it until we got back up to the press box last night. He has done that a couple of times. That's definitely a good one to ask. We'll have to ask Murph that one.
That is, I told Tommy, I'm like, I think he's doing it based on where they are in the lineup. Like, if he feels like this is the tougher part of the lineup, then maybe he's going Uribe there.
That would be my guess.
Because that would make a lot of sense. Mizorowski didn't pitch all that great last night, had the walks. I said it earlier, his curveball, he couldn't place it, and they kept asking him to throw that thing at the end of pitch counts, so that kept leading him into more trouble. And I just said, man, I don't know. If I'm William Contreras or if I'm Chris Hook, and I'm seeing early on that he's having problems spotting that curveball, at some point after, I don't know, the second walk, let's say, I go out there and go, dude, we're done. We're not throwing this anymore. We're not going to worry about that pitch. We're going to focus on using some of your other stuff that you're having a better time of spotting. I think that really was the major problem he was having, was when they were calling that pitch and the fact he couldn't throw it for strikes.
Yeah, his curveball was not there yesterday. You know, he came undone that long at bat, not Michael Welch, Matt Shaw, I think it was a 12 pitch at bat. That was the one that kind of broke him. That took a lot out of him, and I think that rattled him a little bit because he did not throw. I think his next three pitches were balls. It just was not a good at bat. Didn't get the finish that he wanted, and I think that kind of burned him. You know, and then you come up and get the big hit, the double. That one stung. He wasn't all that awful except for that inning where he just got out of his own head for a little bit and it wasn't there.
After the game, Murphy was talking about how it's not acceptable. I don't know if he lost his focus or whatever, but it's not going to cut it. And last time I heard him talking about somebody like this, it was Tobias Myers. And Myers still is living in that doghouse to this day. I'm a little bit concerned that Mizorowski ends up there if he isn't careful here. And Murphy can just say, well, he's young. We tried. It didn't work. And we're moving on. Like, that is something I'm concerned about. Now, Tommy Wirtz brought me back down to earth and said, look, even if he is building himself a doghouse currently, worst case is he probably ends up coming out of the bullpen for the Brewers versus starting in the playoffs.
That's probably true. I don't think he's in the doghouse. I think that they still have all the faith in the world in him. I think Murph has all the faith in the world in him. It was just a bad outing, and I think Murph was right to kind of put it out there.
Well, that's two bad outings in a row now, Drew.
Yeah, it is two bad outings in a row. You know, he's looking like he's human right now. It's not going to cut it. Murph's right. You know, they need more of him, and I think that was a message saying, hey, we know you're better than this. We're counting on you to get to where we're going to go. You got to pull it together.
Yeah, and I get that too. And the other part about it is, you know, you look at how this lines up. If Mizorowski isn't that guy in this playoff rotation, if it's, you know, whatever, however you want to line it up, but if it's Peralta and if it's Woodruff, who's that third guy? Tim Dillard, a couple weeks ago, when I brought it up to him, said, if it's him, Miz is out of the bullpen and Priester is that third guy. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, probably. That's the way it would shape up, I think. That's a smart way to do it.
Yeah, I'm fearful that Murphy's going to go with Quintana. And Quintana has been fine. But for whatever the reason, I just can't get comfortable when he's on the mound. Like, the five guys, when they go out there, I think Quintana is the one guy where, well, we'll see how he is today. And I don't think I have a good justification of why I feel that way, but that's kind of how I feel. When Peralta goes out there, I was like, all right, we should win. Woodruff goes out there. Okay, we should win. Up until these last two starts, when Miz went out there, okay, we should win. And even Priester, who I'm not necessarily fully on board with like most people, I still feel like he gives us a good chance. Now, in the pitching matchup today, Priester versus Imanaga, I don't know what you think of this. I think it's advantage Cubs. I think Imanaga is probably the better pitcher at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with you there, but the Brewers had some good success against him. I think both times they faced him, they hit him pretty good. Priester's been playing great. He had that hiccup game two starts ago, but other than that, he's been pretty lights out the last 2 months. I think he got his regression game out of the system. You know, I think he's going to be fine. I don't see any reason to be concerned. I mean, he'd give a slight edge to Imanaga just because he's got the track record, but you know, I don't think Priester's that much of a slouch in comparison.
Another game goes by, another game where Perkins and Collins both still don't look themselves. And this is all goes back to them missing that couple of days. I'm telling you right now, this Brewers team is not going to go as far as they want to go, I don't think, if Isaac Collins can't get back to being that guy like he was previous to missing those 2 days for his kid being born.
Yeah, I think he'll get back to it. Listen, you have a kid, you probably don't get a lot of sleep. You come back, you've got the goofy schedule
for sure.
The first 2 days. Like I'm fully confident Isaac Collins is going to get back to himself. He's a really good ball player. I mean, it was a kind of a shake up weekend for him. You know, I have no kids that I know about, but I have friends that have tiny tax deductions, and they're always tired and complaining
yes.
all the time.
Yes.
So. I'm guessing it's a stressful thing and probably even more so when you're not there. As for Perkins, I don't know what it was he had to deal with, but if it's bereavement, it's nothing good. So that probably wears on you a little bit and takes you a little time to get readjusted. So you know, I have no concern that those two guys will get back to form.
Inside the Clubhouse brought to you by Focus Baseball. Sign up for their fall mini camps today at focusbaseball.com. Drew Wagner, Forbes Sports Brewers writer, joins us here on the Mason Crosby Show, presented by Verizon. See Sparky Pfeiffer filling in today. The other thing that I don't understand yesterday, well, two things. One, I still don't know why Siegler plays at all on this team. He shouldn't be on the major league roster. But number two is Terang batting all the way down at seven. With as good as he's been playing, I don't understand why he continues to sit down there.
I'm not sure either. I mean, they have their ways of building their lineup. They had a lot of success putting Frelick in the leadoff spot and moving Terang down. It worked for quite some time and hasn't worked as great lately. But too much is made about the lineup. And I've said that forever. There's a reason they put him down there. You know, that five spot they look at it as a second leadoff guy. You know, they've got the numbers where it's the guy that comes up most often in future innings. So I think that's probably the reason they leave him there. But again, I think too much is made out of that.
I believe that if the best players get the most at-bats, you have the best chance of winning. And in order to get the most at-bats, you have to be higher in the lineup. That's just, I mean, seems like common sense to me. So you could talk about, well, this guy batting two versus this guy batting three doesn't make that much of a difference. Okay, we can have that conversation, fine. But the difference between batting in the top three or top four versus batting seven, eight, or nine, I would assume by the end of the year, the number of at-bats that you lose probably, and again, I'm just guessing here, probably somewhere around 60 to 75 at-bats, at least probably, as far as what you'll lose.
Yeah, that could be. Again, there's so much that goes into lineup construction that it kind of makes the mind melt and smoke come out of your ears if you sit down and go through all of it.
See, that's funny. But Drew, that's funny because you literally just said, I think there's too much made out of it. I've heard managers go, you guys talk about it too much. And then you just said, and I believe you, which is, it'll make your mind melt if you realize what went into building a lineup, which means they actually do care. And there is kind of a science to what they're trying to do, that it matters way more than they let on and more than like what we think.
It's not stuff that like you automatically think. If they're thinking about relievers coming in later in the game, they're thinking about who's leading off innings later in the game. They're thinking about, you know, setting the stage and flipping the lineup. They're thinking about splitting lefties. Like, there's all kinds of goofy stuff that goes into it that doesn't make a whole lot of sense on the surface. But when you put it all together, it's like, oh, okay, why are we snapping over this?
He is Andrew Wagner, again, of Forbes Sports Brewers writers. Been on Wrigley last several days. He'll join Tommy coming up during the leadoff show, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook, coming up at noon today here on The Fan. Mr. Wagner, thank you so much.
Talk to you later.
Take care. There he is, Drew Wagner, Forbes Sports. Follow him on Twitter at @ByAndrewWagner. He joined us, of course, on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. All right, coming up on the other side, it says on my rundown that Tommy Wirtz wrote for me, it says extra points. Extra points is what is coming up next. That means I got to come up with something clever and different than what we've talked about to this point to discuss coming up in the next segment.
I did not say you have to be clever. We don't strive for clever on this show.
You don't?
Well, I do, but I don't expect it on anyone else. So no, I don't need you to be clever.
That's fair. I'm not clever, so I don't expect clever out of me.
Also, I will say here, just in defense of Drew Wagner on that last comment, like, Bryce Terang doesn't get to lead off the inning against Palencia if he's not batting seventh.
Sure, that's one moment. But well, I'm telling you, if he's one of your best hitters, which he is at this point, I'll give you a prime example. If Collins can't hit, then he should go to seven and Terang should go up.
Isn't it weird how baseball just always finds a way to work itself out?
Like, no,
this is now.
It's not funny.
Actually,
who comes up with guys on base consistently? Joey freaking Ortiz.
I've told
and
you that.
It was going on all. It's been going on
I've
all
told
year.
You that. I don't. If they should have someone else batting in the nine spot because of how often Joey Ortiz comes up with the bases loaded, but then Joey Ortiz has to be one of those guys to get on base also, which could kill the rally as well. I do think that the fifth guy being the second leadoff spot is the most BS we've heard all year. That I don't. You want to know why it's BS now? Because you know who's batting fifth every day? Andrew Vaughn. completely the opposite of what they were doing. He is the slowest player on the team. Yes. It is not a Terang. It's not a Frelick. No. It's not a Collins. Like, that was total BS that we heard this year that meant absolutely nothing. I am all in on that boat because Andrew Vaughn is not
a leadoff hitter.
He is not. He's a power bat.
Terang would make more sense in that role. That's what you thought.
Well, right. If they're going to say that it's a second leadoff hitter situation, like, yeah,
contact
then play
guys,
into it.
Speed,
get
all
on
that.
Base. Yeah. Play some Brewers baseball. Andrew Vaughn is a power bat. Yeah, it should be a run-producing position in the lineup. I think that he should be batting fifth. I'm just saying the Brewers had a whole spin on a story when really they didn't have a guy who was a five hitter on this team. That's more or less what I was getting at. And what I was saying with the lineup working itself out, Rhys Hoskin homered again in his Nashville assignment. And the way this thing works out is if Vaughn and Hoskins can be the DH first base situation, Yelich can play the field. And that kind of kicks out Isaac Collins if he doesn't figure it out too.
So then it's Yelich, Chirio, and Frelick.
Correct.
And Chirio starts his rehab assignment tomorrow, correct?
Correct. I'm just saying these things work themselves out a lot of the time. And if that's not the case and Isaac Collins does figure it out, then Rhys Hoskins is the best bench bat in the playoffs. And Isaac Collins might be the best bench bat in the playoffs if he's on the bench.
I might be wrong about this. There's no way he's sitting on the bench. Tell you right now,
I tend to agree
way.
With you.
I think they platoon him. One plays against lefties, one plays against righties.
Andrew Vaughn hasn't come out of the lineup at all already.
There's nobody else.
I
know you love Jake Bowers, but he's not there either. He's on rehab too.
Two games as well.
Yeah, he's on rehab too, so he wasn't available either. They had no options at first base. Monasterio's going to play first base with Andrew Vaughn.
They love your boy Anthony Siegler enough to try him around somewhere else.
Listen, there is no reason for him to be on this roster.
You want the fans to complain about the lineup? You tell me you want them to complain about the lineup more? Take Andrew Vaughn out of it and see what happens with this fan base. He's been the best player on the team for over a month right now. Best hitter, at least.
All right, what do you want to put on it? I'm a Wendy's guy, so we'll go Wendy's.
Okay.
Right? We'll go a Wendy's value meal, and if they end up platooning Hoskins and Vaughn, you owe me a value meal. If they don't, and Vaughn is playing every day, regardless of what Hoskins is doing, I owe you a value meal.
Okay. Are we going to do this for the end of the season, or should we just make it like first playoff
first
game, what's the roster?
No, first
okay.
September.
All right, I got you.
First
I
September.
Got you. Yeah.
When the regular season ends, the winner pays off before the first playoff game.
Yeah, take Andrew Vaughn out of the lineup and see what happens. This whole city is going to be an uproar. George Webb is going to be like, no more promotions ever again after this.
I don't think so. I don't think it matters. But I do want to talk about that promotion. Coming up next, the Mason Crosby Show is presented by Verizon, the official 5G network of the Green Bay Packers. Live from the 1250 AM 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Sparky filling in for the guys.